Bret Hart Radio is presented by Sharpshooter Funding in association with PodcastArena.com and Gao Media.
Are you a small business looking to get over, but you don't have all the funds you need? Well, there's a solution. Check out sharpshooterfunding.com. At Sharpshooter Funding, they know that they have a solution to fit your specific needs. Their team has the experience and knowledge to find you the best product for your specific situation. Whether you're a first-time customer or a repeat business partner, their team will fulfill your needs. Give them a ring at 416-238-0252. That's 416-238-0252. Or send an email to dallas@sharpshooterfunding.com.
It's time to go down to the dungeon and visit the Hart Family Vault. The Hart Family Vault. This is Bret Hart Radio.
Hey, this is another edition of Bret Hart Radio. Yes. I want to welcome my man, the indelible Nick Houseman.
Wow. We are starting off on such a strong note here on the Hart Family Vault, our Friday special here. Welcome back, everybody. Yes, WWE Hall of Famer Bret the Hitman Hart, his son's Blade in Dallas. We're kicking it here. Another week, another Friday episode. We've got a part two of our Mickey Gall interview here in just a couple minutes. But before we get to that, the 4 out of 10 in the Ask the Hitman. Dallas, what is going on in the world of our official sponsor, Sharpshooter Funding, right now?
Well, Nick, you know, it's same thing every day over there. We're grinding, we're making deals, we're cutting checks for people, helping their business as much as we can, and you know, we want to extend the invite to anybody to come check us out, sharpshooterfunding.com, and any of us would love to help you out, get some money.
Wonderful. Everybody loves money. Money is the best.
Yes,
absolutely. And if you guys want to find more of the best audio content available, go over to iTunes. Subscribe absolutely for free to Bret Hart Radio. 5-star ratings, comments, always appreciated. You can find us over at podcastarena.com as well. And if you want to support the Hart family and the Hart Foundation, go over to HartFoundationForHallOfFame.com. And the Sharpshooter podcast we did on Tuesday, Bret went in depth about why you should go sign your name to this petition. Go check it out. But before we get into part two of the Mickey Gall interview, I have to know, has the squirrel returned from last week? Have you seen the squirrel from last week at all?
Oh, the squirrel's moved to higher circles.
Is he dead?
No, he's moved up really high on the roof side of the on a different tree. He's not any kind of,
he's fine.
He doesn't want to mix with the cat too much.
I was told by an exterminator online that vinegar is what you put on the sticky mat and it gets the squirrel's feet to come off.
Mm. That's what we should have thought of that before he put the knife to him.
We chopped.
We made him sweat a bit.
What do you do with the rat after he gets off the sticky pad with the vinegar on him?
I don't know.
You take a slap shot.
Try to catch it with rubber gloves.
90 flex hockey stick.
Brick wall as hard as you can, as fast as you can.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about. The other thing I wanted to ask you about before we get to this Mickey Gall interview is, I know you guys have told me you have Stampede coming up. What is Stampede?
Stampede is the greatest outdoor show on earth, Nick.
Biggest dong show on earth.
It is. They even changed the alcohol laws here in Alberta where you can drink before 7 a.m.
You can drink all day, all night.
The trains finally run 24 hours a day.
It's a great time, you know, because it's so cool up here, nice and hot and cool at the same time. And it's daylight from like 6 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. It's just unbelievable. The weather is the best time of the year. It's we get all kinds of people from all over the world coming to town, and
they get to see
the whole cowboy experience and the rodeo. It's the biggest rodeo in the world. We have some of the best. We have chuck wagon races, which are world famous. It's all on TV. You know, it's the whole city goes Calgary Stampede, and everywhere you go, everybody's got a cowboy hat, and everyone's kind of like howdy. You know, welcome to our place, and they invite you in. There's parties all over town. The bars are packed. It's a great time to be here. If you're ever going to come to Calgary, Canada, then you want to come in July and you want to come for the Stampede. It's just an awesome time.
And your dad ran Stampede Wrestling. Was this like the time where they would do the biggest show of the year would be during Stampede?
Yeah, the Friday, my dad always had the corral or the pavilion or the saddle dome for the Friday during the stampede, or as many, if usually it's two Fridays. And he would bring Andre and he'd bring the world champion up. You know, this goes back to the 50s and 40s, you know, like, well, the 50s anyway. My dad took over in 48 with the wrestling up here. But, I mean, they'd bring in the world champions, whether it was Luthez, and sometimes they bring a boxing champion to come up and referee the title fights up here. And Jersey Joe Walcott was up here. Rocky Marciano was up here.
Gorgeous George ever come up here?
Gorgeous George was up here. Wilbur Watson. Like, everybody that was a big name in wrestling came up here in the 50s for my dad. You know, everybody from Killer Kowalski to Edward Carpentier to French wrestlers, Canadian wrestlers, American wrestlers. It was a hotbed for wrestling in those days, because in those days, back in the 50s, the Canadian dollar was actually worth a little bit more than the American, like 2 or 3 cents, I think, or maybe a nickel. And so you had a lot of American football players that were playing in the CFL, and you had a lot of American wrestlers were up here. You know, Antonio Rocca was the guy that worked up here. Bruno Sammartino was even up here when I was a kid in the 60s. But they would come up for the Stampede. It really was. My dad tried to put on a super card every year, just those 10 days. And Andre the Giant or the Maguire Twins or an assortment of midgets, different sizes and shapes and colors. And usually the lady wrestlers, June Byers and Mildred Burke and everybody, they all passed through Calgary one time or another, usually during the Stampede.
There you go, guys. We opened up the vault, and we heard all about Stampede Wrestling there. I love it. All right. Well, folks, we ran out of time on Tuesday. We were hoping to play a little bit of this interview, but we just didn't have enough time for it. So right here this week in the Hart Family Vault, we are going into the archives, and we are airing this interview in its entirety. Here he is, CM Punk's opponent for UFC 203. It's the one and only Mickey Gall.
Now back to Bret Hart Radio. Here is the WWE Hall of Famer, 5-time Slammy Award winner, 2-time King of the Ring, and now the podcast champion of the world, Bret the Hitman Hart.
All right, let's get things rolling. This is our big interview for today. We got Mickey Gall on the phone. Mickey, welcome to the Hitman Show. It's going to be a big day today talking to you about your upcoming fight and what your thoughts are. And just welcome to the show for starters.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've sort of made a huge impact right off the bat. You've gone in there twice now and had two quick strong wins, and you're sort of off and running in your career, and it's got to be an exciting time for you.
Yeah, it's real fun. You know, so I've been working for this since I was 16. I'm 24 now, and you know, I did this all with the intention on getting to like the big show, the big stage, and doing it here. And you know, it came a little quicker than I thought, but I'm ready, and I'm very excited, very eager.
But something like this is it something you sort of like, you know what you got to do, and you sort of start to plan it, and like, and now looking back on, is this sort of where you expected to be, or where you hope to be?
Yeah, I knew I'd get to the highest level and get to the UFC. To be honest, I figured I'd probably be getting there around, in, maybe a few months from now. I would have, I figured I would have had to beat up about 5 or 6 guys on the regional circuit, locally, and then I would have got my UFC shot. But my first fight, Dana White happened to be there. I had an impressive win, and then I happened to say, some things on a post fight, on the microphone, and they brought me in for. My second professional fight was in the UFC, which is great, man. I'm ready. I've been training hard. I've been doing 2-a-days pretty much since I was 16. And I'm ready to go. Very excited.
Well, I know, like, when you start out your career and all that, you sort of got to sort of prepare yourself mentally and physically for sort of this sort of pathway to the top. And, it seems like, you're making a real impact right away, and you've done a good job of moving straight into the ranks. And I know Punk, I'm a good friend of Phil's, and I know that he's such a determined guy. He's a very focused guy, whether it was wrestling or this UFC stuff. It's all very complicated stuff, and how you map out how you progress, like for him, trying to make the switch from wrestling to martial arts and UFC and all that. It's got to be a huge it's got to be a change of life for sure. But I mean, he's got, like you, he's probably mapped out a road and how I'm going to get to the sort of the, this is how I'm going to do it. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to train here and I'm going to have this kind of help. And I'm going to, you know, it's such a long sort of process that goes into building a champion. And I know that you're just doing the same thing. And I think it's great that you two guys are going to fight early. You both got like a good head of steam going, and there's a lot of curiosity and interest in your fight. I can say that from my own perspective.
Yeah, CM Punk's a superstar. He's going to bring a lot of eyes and a lot of attention and excitement to the fight, which is great. You know, that's amazing. He's, you know, like I said, he's a superstar. He made himself a big, was at the top of his sport. With that said, I myself like him. I'm also, you know, a determined and focused guy. And also, like you said, he's in a great camp. The camp he's in, Rufus Sport, in Milwaukee, that's one of the best MMA gyms in the world, for sure. That, you know, Duke Rufus, he's a great, great mind and talent. But it doesn't matter where he is. There's nothing that could save him. That's going to happen September 10th. He's all mine, man. I can't wait to fight him.
Well, I am really excited for you. I'm sort of excited for the fight. I know that you know, you have a pretty extensive wrestling background, correct?
Jiu-jitsu. I wrestled my senior year, but I'm more of a jiu-jitsu guy.
So submissions and submissions more of your specialty?
Yes. Submissions and punching people in the head.
Well, that certainly works.
So, yeah, recipe for a win.
Good, yeah. I mean, well, Brett, that's you're the submission expert here. I don't know if you have any advice for Mickey as far as submission specialties go.
Oh, I don't think I need to tell Mickey too much about submissions. You know, my dad was a serious submission guy, and I knew a lot of stuff that my dad that did, but I'm not sure how applicable a lot of what my dad did. I know. I don't know. I think a lot of it might have been illegal. Who knows? But I know that he was a real submission guy. Like he loved it all the way from going back to the, you know, the 30s and 40s and the 50s. He was considered a submission guy with grapevines and, you know, a lot of funny things that he could do, like painful things and stuff like that. But anyway, I think. I'm sure that Mickey's got a pretty good grasp of submission wrestling from, and I think there is a big difference from what people were doing back in the 30s and 40s. And I think in pro wrestling, it's a totally different thing. It's more of, you know, it's all performance art kind of stuff. But anyway, I know that Mickey, you got any kind of questions you want to ask the Hart gang here?
Actually, I just wanted to say, I'm often asked if I was, you know, if I am a wrestling fan, if I was ever a wrestling fan. And I always, like, the answer I always give is, yeah, I really was when I was younger. You know, I kind of fell off it, I don't know, like late middle school years or whatever, you know, into my teens. But when I watched, you were one of the guys I was watching. Like, I was a big Stone Cold Steve Austin fan, and I absolutely was aware of you and, you know, watched you and appreciated what you did. So that it was cool for me to be able to get on the phone and talk to you today. I'm a fan.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. I know that I've had a lot of UFC guys that have sort of pulled me aside and told me that they were huge fans. And I've noticed a lot of UFC guys that turned out have grown up with wrestling and are huge fans, and I appreciate that. I think the pro wrestlers really appreciate that, and we're an industry that most of the time gets a kick in the nuts rather than a pat on the back, and usually you know, no one gives anybody any respect for what we do in pro wrestling. But the in reality of it is that we work really hard to exemplify or to capture the same thing what UFC fighters do every day that they climb in the ring and when they fight each other. We attempt to capture that same vibe, that whole experience of fighting, except it's ours is entertainment and it's not supposed to be real. You know, and I think there's an art to it, and UFC fighters seem to dig that, I think, because they know that it's not easy to orchestrate and to portray, you know, great contests. And like you were talking about Steve Austin, You know, when I look at the match we had at WrestleMania 13 where, you know, the blood pouring and I had him in the sharpshooter and Ken Shamrock's referee, and it's the intensity of that whole sort of drama, that whole thing exploding live when it happened. I mean, it captured everything that you get in a UFC fight all the time. And it's like, that was great wrestling. That was what wrestling was all about. And we both came back. We were just, you know, it's always been like one of the greatest matches ever because it was such a piece of work. It was so, everything from the kick in the balls to the ringing with the bell and all the crazy stuff we put in that match. But the storyline, I mean, was such a great, you know, such a great thing. And, you know, the thing about that match with the blood was that Shamrock never knew anything about the blood in that match. And when there was blood in that match, you could see Shamrock, I wouldn't say mark out, but he kind of marks out like a wrestling fan because he's a wrestling fan. He grew up as a fan and he's watching it and he's been around it. And it's like suddenly it's like he gets pulled into it. And that's what we try to do. And that's what the greatest pro wrestling matches are ones that try to their very hardest to emulate real fights like UFC.
Yes, that's funny you brought up that match, because I remember that when you guys had like a little feud and stuff. I remember the blood flowing. I remember you having that submission. I can't remember exactly. Did he pass out of pain in that? What? There's something crazy going on. He's like you were hurting him pretty bad. I do remember that. It's a little faint, but yeah. I do vaguely remember that match. That was a big one.
Well, if you're gonna go back and watch one, or you want to entertain yourself, that's one of the best ones to watch. It's such a masterpiece. I mean, some of the stuff in there is just so good, and the timing and the way we, you know, and Steve and I, you know, we've always been really good friends. You know, he's really one of my closest friends in the business today. And, you know, we really liked working with each other then. We had so much fun. And it was hard work. You know, Steve Austin, you see him take a backdrop on the cement steps all the way up in the stands. You know, we did everything from pillar to post on the floor and through the tables. And, you know, it was a fun match, but it was hard work. And, you know, it's one of those great performance matches that, I don't know.
You get to look back on it forever.
It's hard to top, you know. I hope that you can, I'm sure you will in your career, where you look back on certain matches and you go, this is where I never was better than this. This is when, you know, cause you're going to get challenged both with offensive and defensive, sort of genius going in there. You know, sometimes it's what you do to win the match defensively, and then there's times when you go on the, you know, you turn up the gears and you know waste somebody, sort of thing. You give them everything you got and you take them down. It's like, you know, it's real Roman gladiator stuff for me. I mean, when I watch it, I admire you guys so much for what you do, the sacrifice. It's, to me, it's you know, there's a certain beauty to it, watching great UFC fighting. And, you know, and same with boxing. You know, I think if you grew up with fighting in general, you can just, there's a sort of a science and a poetry to it that, that you don't get in anything else.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting about that, Brett? You talking about, you know, being able to go back and watch like that match, and you were saying, you know, it's hard work. But that match is there forever. You get to always look back at that. That's something I want. Like, when I get like asked, one of the things I want is I want to get into some nice wars in my career. I want some good back and forth wars. You know, I would like feel like, oh, the brain trauma. Oh, that's not what you want. You want to do it how you've been doing it. Just go in there and make it, you know, end it quick. But no, I want like that beautiful piece of art. Like, I'm a martial artist. I want to make that art that I can then like look back on and you know. Hey, check this match out. Look at what we went through here. Similarly to the way you are able to talk about that Steve Austin match. You know, like that's something like inspiring to me. That's something I want to do.
And you will have all those moments. That is, you know, you'll have to, you know, yours will be a lot less. Like over your career, you'll have less than. I mean, I fought so many guys all the time. Every week, I was fighting somebody, and there were so many matches every day. And you know, for what you guys do, I mean. You're a young guy, so I mean, you're going to have assume at this point we can hope optimistically you're going to have a good, long, healthy career. And, you know, just that weight class is such a tough weight class. You know, there's some really serious competition at that weight class. That is
real killers.
It's a, yeah, real killers. And it's, you're going to have some really tough, fights down the road. And I'm sure Punk is, you know, he's, I'm sure he's prepared. I hope he's recovered enough from his injuries and stuff like that. And moved on enough, but I think he's chomping at the bit. And I think everyone's pretty excited about you guys working with each other.
Yeah. I can't wait. You know, it's an honor to be able to fight him, man. He's a superstar, you know, and, it's going to do me a big favor in my career, being able to fight him. So I don't look at it, you know, like
now, aside from Punk, is there other guys that you look forward to who you'd like down the road after Punk? That's, you know, optimistically speaking, the next opponent and the next one, anybody else you're sort of, you know, expecting sooner or later, you're going to have a head on collision with this guy or this guy. Who are the guys that you sort of really kind of, you know, want to put their notch on your belt sort of thing?
Yeah, that's, you know, bit nice. I'm looking at everyone, man. I have a UFC fight pass, and I'm studying everybody, watching fights. I'm not sure who I'm going to have, you know, after I fight CM Punk, I'm going to have a name, you know, on my lips for the microphone after. I'm not sure who I want that to be yet, but I'm looking for everyone, man. Big names make nice trophies, and I want to be a champion. I want the belt.
Man, this guy talks like, you talk like a wrestler, Mickey. It's amazing. Like, you're cutting such great promos here. I'm loving this. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I got to
what are you
watch
expecting
great,
from
like
CM
Bret
Punk?
Hart and Steve Austin, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Mickey, have you ever had any bad injuries? Like, have you got a broken wrist or broken knuckles or anything that where it's gonna like you're kind of recovering from something, or is everything sort of good to go and you've had a pretty good?
Everything's good to go. I've been pretty lucky. You know, I have a tendency to overtrain. Like I said, I've been doing like 2-a-days since I was in college. Since I got my license, I go and do 2-a-days. I'm starting to train a little smarter where I'm not, you know, overdoing it all the time. But no, I've been lucky and fortunate enough to not have any naggy injuries or anything serious.
I wanted to know, Mickey, like you talk about, you know, the kind of wars you want to have and, you know, the kind of matches you want to be presenting. What are you expecting from CM Punk in this fight? Like, are you expecting a ground game? Or are you expecting a punching game from him? I mean, what are you feeling going into this fight that you're going to get from CM Punk?
I don't know, man. It's kind of hard I don't know what to expect exactly, you know? I'm sure he's going to be proficient. I know he's been doing jiu-jitsu for years, and he's training with Duke Rufus. I know his kickboxing is going to be, you know, it's going to be good. He's going to have something to offer. This guy, I don't think he's coming in. He's not coming in here to get beat. He's coming in here. He's got to have something up his sleeve. I'm preparing for him, you know, as if he's a champion. I'm not overlooking him whatsoever. But a lot of people, I'm sure you guys see, they're treating this like a joke. Like, they treat him like a joke, and I'm not going to make that mistake. What I expect from the fight, I think in the first round I'm going to hit him hard. I don't know, you know, it'll be longer than, I think it'll be longer than my last fight. But I think I'll hit him with something hard, drop him, and then I think I'll probably, like, pound him out. You know, get a TKO stoppage or he'll go out.
Yeah. I mean, I got to imagine for Punk, I mean, there's going to be a huge weight on his back, just that pressure of going out first time, you know. So I sense that is going to be a lot more, whereas I think with Mickey, it sounds like he's just going to be very comfortable and very relaxed going out, which is how you want to be.
I was going to say, for one young guy to another young guy, man, you sound super confident, man. You're really grounded, which is considering the weight behind this fight. It's really good, man. I think you're going to do really well with your whole career.
Thank you.
I think Punk is a very focused guy, and he's, you know, I believe him when he says he can do this kind of thing. Like when he stepped out into the sort of the UFC and said, I'm going to try my hand at this. I remember going, well, if there's anybody that can do it, it's going to be Punk. You know, he's a super dedicated, focused guy. And, I think he's known a lot of guys in the industry and was sort of familiar with UFC and martial arts long before he got into pro wrestling. They kind of meshed together, I think, a little bit for him. And Daniel Bryan, maybe even the same thing. So I know that he's going to give you a great fight, and I know that you're both you know, both guys have got a lot of heart. So good luck in the fight ahead and your career, and we'll be cheering you on all the way.
Thank you very much. It's really nice to talk to you, and I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
It's time for 4 out of 10. 4 out of 10.
I give it a 4 out of 10.
A nod to those who failed to excellently execute. 4 out of 10 on Bret Hart Radio.
All right, time, everybody, for this is the special time. This is the 4 out of 10. Yes. My 4 out of 10 this week is I'm doing a fundraiser this Thursday on July 7th for the Village Nutraiser Prairie Oyster Ale fundraiser. And it's in partnership with the Village Brewery up here in Calgary. And it's at Bottle Screw Bills in Calgary, Alberta, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And Brett Wilson is going to be there. And I've made the special beer that's a combination of an actual banana and a bull's testicle. And they've been sort of fermenting it or whatever it is you do with beer to get it ready for about the last month. I mixed all these ingredients together a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to taste this beer on Thursday, and I want everybody to come out and have a few beers and have some fun. The Stampede will be kicking off the next day, so it'll be a good day to start things early. But I think you want to really start up with this. I'm going to call it a 4 out of 10, being optimistic that this beer will be a 4 out of 10 as far as taste goes. But, I mean, the cause is a 10 out of 10. And so I'm inviting everybody that's within earshot or they can make it down to come and have some 4 out of 10 beer that's all going to go to prostate cancer.
That's a good name for a beer, actually. I'd drink a 4 out of 10 beer, you know, as long as you put your stamp of approval on it.
Well, I mean, you know, I may surprise myself. Maybe it's like, holy shit, this is the best beer I ever had in my life, you know. Pour me another, give me another glass, buddy, and make it fast, you know.
Yeah. And Blade Dallas, I know you guys had a 4 out of 10 for this week as well.
Yeah, we're going to have to throw Kevin Durant under the bus here.
Yeah.
I switched over to the Golden State when he was, 48 minutes away from beating him and going to the championship, and then he joins them, so... I was kind of cowardly, and
I heard a quote about how Michael Jordan never joined forces with anybody else. LeBron has. Seems like everybody's jumping ship left and right, but that's why no one will ever be as good as Michael Jordan.
Yes, basketball. I know about
four that. Four out of ten to Kraft Dinner.
all right, and we're going to wrap up the show here today. We will go into our official Ask the Hitman mailbag here today. All right. This is a great question for you guys here. This is from Carlos Ortega. And again, if you want to submit a question here for the Hart family, hashtag Ask the Hitman. At Los Dude 0451, Harts, have you ever watched Lucha Underground? And what's your opinion of the up and coming promotion?
Well, I can't say because I've never watched it. I have never caught it.
Oh, really? Blade Down.
That makes a... I think three ways.
I don't know if it's the same one, but there's a girl that we used to know. She used to work at a bar here in Calgary. I don't know her, Tara. And she was wrestling with the Lucha Underground, I think. But I actually haven't watched any of the matches. I've just seen kind of her stuff on Facebook, but pretty good.
Yeah, I told you guys a couple matches you need to watch. I don't know if you've gone back and watched Hornswoggle's WLC match. That match is great. Tonight on Pop TV, the Hardys are airing what's called the Final Deletion match, which is like some epic backyard match that they're going to have tonight. Highly recommend that as well. But the last question here. I love this question for you, Brett. This is from Rob Stone at Flub Stone. He says, I always hear their sides of the story, but would love the truth from you, Brett. Who is the more honest man, Vince Russo or Eric Bischoff?
Oh, I don't know. That's a real. That's a
loaded question.
That's like a cockroach and a maggot having a tug of war or something. I don't know.
So I
can't. I'd say that's just about a dead tie. I actually don't know Vince Russo to be a complete total liar. I'd have to say Bischoff's the bigger liar for sure. Yeah. Vince is, not the most, hold him to his word kind of guy either, but I never found him flat out dishonest. Maybe just not as smart as he thought he was about wrestling. But Eric, yeah, Eric's just a flat out liar. He lied to his own mother. He'd lie where everything he says is a lie. He's like, he can't take anything he says as with any kind of hope that it's even half true, or maybe it's true, or maybe it'll happen. Everything he ever said to me was total bullshit. Whereas Russo, who, you know, came close to Eric with his poor ideas of booking and stuff like that. But I mean, at the same time, I don't know him to be a flat out liar.
Hmm. Blade Dallas, are you at all surprised by that response from your dad?
I feel like he's, you know, he's just preaching the truth, Nick. He's he's an old school G.
Yeah,
Eric wouldn't know how to tell the truth. He doesn't know what the truth is. He couldn't actually. He might just blow up if he tried to tell the truth about anything. Oh. Self combust.
Well, this has been a great week here on Bret Hart Radio. I feel like that's like the best way to go out there, right? Bischoff? I don't know. No idea. It's gone well. Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Bret Hart Radio is a TJ DeSantis production. In association with Nick Houseman and Sharpshooter Funding, Bret Hart Radio. Its content is intended for private use only.